It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. Yeah, I can say that with certainty. Sometimes I, on Fridays, I'll kind of go with the fun. We'll see. But CFP is going on tonight. First game of the four-game set. Three more tomorrow. Alabama and Oklahoma are playing, already being disturbed by the images of all the country music. But, you know, we'll deal with that. Coming up also tonight, I know Adam has strong feelings about what this is. Is Nick Saban dyeing his hair? I mean, he's it's like the new coward up there. That's like jet black. Look at that from afar. That is crazy. That is a helmet of hair. Nick's a zillionaire. He just bought into the Predators. He hates college football players who don't go to Alabama or a group of four schools, or power four, as they call them. But, yeah, the pregame has started for Alabama and Oklahoma. We got Thursday night football to recap. We got all the Saturday and Sunday football to look forward to. This is the first of two shows here at Treasure Island in the Golden Circle Sports Bar. Throw the Flag is tomorrow from 9 until 11 o'clock. Adam, busy day. You're over with the Raiders, so we got some Raiders stories to get to as well. What's going on?
Not much. It sounded like jealousy of Nick Saban there coming from you.
It is jealousy because I've had the question for about a year now. Willie Ramirez told me that he dyes his hair, especially his – he has no hair on top, but his goatee, because he doesn't want it to be different colors. I have different colors all over the beard and the hair.
Sure.
And I've been trying to push this whole thing at home, and I keep being told by the SO, don't do it. Don't do it.
You want to go,
but Saban, I mean,
you want to go Saban?
I can see from, I mean, we are, the TVs are big here, but we're quite the distance, and they don't have like a close-up shot right now on Saban. I mean, that's the first thing I saw was his, I mean, Desmond Howard's like, bro, your hair is dark.
Yeah, it's jarring.
I think it's jarring. Jarring's a good word.
Yeah. Saban's an interesting fella, as we're learning from his landscape career.
I thought he was own man, his own man. I thought he was his own man, but I like there's some been lately, if I slow down, there's been some bought and paid for moments from him. Like that whole thing a few weeks back with Lane Kiffin, because they share the same agency, that was real weird. His thing about the group of five or six being AAA, I was like, that you coach the game. Why are you speaking like that? But
well, it goes back to him
getting
infuriated by one of the best comedians on the planet, Shane Gillis.
Yeah, what did Gillis do to him?
Well, he made a comment about the, you know, now everybody's paying players, not just the SEC.
Right, so you guys aren't as good as you used to be.
Yeah, Saban, like, was beside himself. And, I mean, A, yes, he's a comedian, so he was kind of joking, but, you know, there was obviously some truth in that, too. And the fact that Saban just clearly could not take a joke or even a true statement.
Well, I think that's what it was, right?
Sure.
When people get really mad, generally, it's because it hits really hard at home.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, you got me.
Yeah.
How dare you? You got me. No one does that to me.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And then Saban went home and, you know, took his ball home and dyed his hair again, I think. That's kind of what he does.
I haven't seen it this dark.
It's it's playoff time. So you gotta step up your game a little bit. Yeah.
You gotta look your best.
A lot more eyeballs on this. You gotta do that.
Now, we're not ageist, because I'm old. Adam, I don't think, is an ageist all the time, sometimes.
Well, I once said that we could improve society by just killing everyone that turns 55.
Wow. I'm so done. I'm done in a couple of months.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm ageist.
I want to see if you're pro Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham is 10 years older than me. He looks great. He's only 65. What did you think when you saw it announced that this was going to be his last game at Utah, this Las Vegas Bowl coming up in 12 days?
Yeah, I think it was a retirement that was paused briefly because the Michigan job opened.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily the case of the connection to Michigan, but last week we had talked about the fact that there was all this celebrating. Hey, you know, the coach gets to go out on his own terms. What a great career. Let's honor him. And then almost immediately we saw someone up at our buddy Griffin Kemp's station, KSL in Salt Lake, where one of the Utah insiders was saying, well, is this the end of his coaching career or just the end of his stint at Utah? And I was like, oh, okay. So then we asked a question last week. Were they fired up to get Morgan Scali into the job because they might lose him? He's been coach in waiting for a while. You know, you never want to have like a Boeheim situation where the coach in waiting just said the hell with it and left right. and went to Washington. Boeheim was a selfish pea, so he just stayed around forever and drove the program into the ground. And they're still complaining about the money they get, which is, it's your fault! They don't get any. But in the case of Whittingham, I saw something today, a quote. The Utah coach said, I'm a free agent. Wait a second. I thought he was done coaching.
Well, he never said that. I mean, right when it came out, everybody kind of noticed that that's what happened. It seems like the situation was, as you mentioned, there's been a coach waiting for a while. They had given him a deadline before this season to decide if he was coming back or not, this being Whittingham.
Right.
And it got to that deadline. They gave him an extension of a couple days. And my guess would be, and this is just a total guess, we don't cover the team and not around there, that they're like, all right, it's the deadline. Like, we gave you a deadline.
So you think he's been pushed out?
And I think he was just kind of deciding. No, I think at some point he said, if you're going to hold me to this deadline, then, yeah, I'm leaving. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm retiring.
Wow. They said, I'm a free agent. I'm in the transfer portal. He goes, I'm at peace, and I did not want to be that guy that overstayed his welcome. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Overstayed his welcome. He's a legendary coach who's built the program to a high level. I mean, they finished just outside the CFP. They got a big-time game coming up here, Las Vegas Bowl against Matt Rhule in Nebraska. He hates Vegas, although we find out now maybe not so much.
Well, he's backing off of it because they're coming.
Yeah.
We'll be grilling him on it soon. Don't worry.
I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, that I thought last week when I saw the insider say this isn't necessarily the end for Whittingham, it's the end at Utah, that the Michigan connection, that job, is interesting. Not saying that he has a connection, but that job is interesting, and I think he will be in coaching at a minimum 2 seasons from now. He may take the year off. He should make a run of the Michigan job. They probably should consider him. We'll see what happens. But he's coaching again. So this thing completely changed from the narrative about 10 days ago where I saw a lot of Utah fans were like, thanks, coach. What a great run. Glad you get to go out on your own terms. I don't know if he got to go out on his own terms.
No.
Sounds like he was pushed out.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, everybody's known about this deadline. I mean, I don't know how many people follow Utah football and pay attention to it, but there was a deadline, and it was something around the Las Vegas Bowl announcement that I, you know, had obviously become aware of because there's some moving pieces around that. Would this be his last game? Would it not? Turns out it is, just not just at Utah, not necessarily overall. But, yeah, they had a deadline. They let him extend it. And I would imagine at some point he said, why do I have a deadline? I'm Kyle Whittingham.
Right.
And, you know, if they want to hold him to it, fine. He can go elsewhere.
Crazy. So that game's coming up as one of the bowl games in the middle of the bowl season. Unique spot, New Year's Eve, 12:30. You can get your tickets at lvbowl.com, lvbowl.com. We'll get into the craziness with Seattle and the Rams last night. But Bama and Oklahoma are going at it. We know Mark McMillan is very vested in this one. Our football insider on Fridays, he went to Alabama and then played with 5 teams in the NFL. We'll find out what's going on with Mark, his pick for the Crimson Tide today, his picks for the CFP, and also if the Eagles, his main team, his main squeeze, are back on track.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on here on this Friday, really just getting started, getting ready for bowl season, CFP. All that's going on tomorrow and Sunday in the National Football League, and of course Monday, and a recap of last night's game. Let's talk to Mark McMillan here on this Friday, our Football Insider, around this time of the show each week. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, man? I'm a little nervous over here, Steve Cofield. You know my guy's getting ready to tip off here in about another 2 hours down in Norman, Oklahoma, so I hope Ty Simpson plays a lot better than he did in that SEC championship game.
Go Sooners.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You know what? People are real tough behind their keyboards and their phones, man. People are real tough. I hear you back there, big Adam.
Yeah. Little Adam over here, tough guy.
Well, it'd be good for you in the long run, right? You don't all of you Alabama fans want Kalen DeBoer out?
What?
No. No, we're in the college football playoffs. I don't know what person in their right mind will want. Who else is going to take that job? And do better than what he's done in the last couple of years. And you know, he's in the college football playoff, so that's what we want. That's where we're here to see what we can do.
All right, handicap the game for me. How strong do you feel about Alabama winning this game?
I feel better this time than I did last time. I didn't think we were going to play well last time in Oklahoma because the offense just wasn't really feeling it. The defense had a lot of injuries. But right now, our defense is carrying the team right now. And like I said, we still got some really good offensive weapons. You know, we get the jammer back. We get our tight end back. You know, our O-line is healthy right now. So hopefully they can put on a better performance. You know, they had a couple, guys that was down. But I think our secondary will play a lot better. Oklahoma struggles with the offensive side of the ball, but Oklahoma has some guys on defense as well. So it's a college football playoff game, man. This is how it should be. Two good teams going at it.
Do you think this Alabama team can win the entire tournament?
Anybody can win this entire tournament. You know, like I said, injuries can strike at any position, a major position, and that's how the ball goes. You know, we're looking at Indianapolis, the Colts, in the beginning of the season. We're like, crowning them to go to the Super Bowl, and obviously their quarterback is having some problems. But anything can happen, Steve. You just got to get in. It's like March Madness, but it's in football.
Yeah, it's crazy. I talked to some middle of the week. I can't remember who on the show said kind of didn't matter who wins this 8-9 game with Alabama and Oklahoma because they thought they'd go out to the Rose Bowl and just get totally smoked against Indiana. Are you that high on Indiana? Are they really a number one team to fear?
They are a number one team to fear. I will say it. And like I said, I love my Crimson Tide. You get past us, but obviously you got to go to Pasadena. I told my son, I say, hey, we win tonight. We're going to Pasadena. He's like, who do they have to play, Indiana? I was like, yeah. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to go, Dad.
Really?
Indiana's a really good coach team. They did really well in the transfer portal. Obviously, you got the Heisman Trophy at quarterback. They got some dudes over there at Indiana. So, it doesn't matter if you got an A on your chest or – Ohio State Buckeye, obviously they proved that they can play with the big boys over the last couple of years, and man, they're rolling, man. You know, the people in Indiana, it's cold over there. They're gonna be swarming in Pasadena.
Mark McMillan, Chef Mark, is with us. All right, before we continue with all the football, I wanted to ask you what was going on with social media today and an event this week. I saw a bench, I saw sneakers up on social media. So what's happening?
Yeah, we did a friendship bit presentation through my Lyft program for kids who have been harassed and bullied to the Nathan Allison Hospice Care Center. So we do that, raising money through Evil Pie Pizzas and, other events that I do around the Valley and football camps. So we're able to raise enough funds to present them with a friendship bench that they put in their garden area. Through the toughest times that people go through the Nathan Allison Hospice Center, we just want to do something kind of cool that people can go outside and sit down. Got a nice little waterfall out there as well. So, my father-in-law, he went through the Hospice Care Center, so we're real big on helping and giving back.
Can you talk more
and
about the
Lyft? Sneakers.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, a young lady named Kenna Kick. She's out of Phoenix, Arizona. She's 22 years old, so I gave her my graphics and everything. So she made these brand-new kicks. Football players are wearing my cleats, my claws, so – I had her design some. It has the anti-bullying logos on it. It has the Gorilla McMillan logo. And it has the Lyft logo on there as well. So I'm real big on, you guys know, man, you guys do a good job of helping me and supporting all the charity work that I do here in Vegas. So I definitely appreciate you guys. And you guys are just as much as part of this as well. Because, Steve, you always give me the platform to be able to help raise money as well.
Of course. Bullying is a terrible thing, no doubt. Boy, we got some problems around college football, and lately it's been with dudes getting a little too froggy with their power and not having enough not having enough willpower. We know Sharon Moore, that whole deal went down last week, and then we find out that, the Ohio coach, and Ohio is the opponent for UNLV in this bowl game, the Frisco Bowl, but the Ohio coach was on leave. Brian Smith got fired just a couple days ago. They said, drinking, public appearances. He appeared intoxicated. He's drinking in the office. And then we find out, there's some stuff going on with what the school is calling extramarital affairs and also a relationship with a co-ed. What do you make all this?
Man, it's been going on for a long time. It's just now being exposed. Everybody know, man, you look at it, you go on these college campuses, And you see these young ladies, and I remember my rookie year playing with the Eagles. I went back to Arizona State. You know, I was thinking about taking some classes. I said, I can't do it. I said, it was just too much temptation on that campus. So I can't imagine a coach with a little bit of juice, a little bit of power, seeing this week in and week out, man. So, but you're in a position like that. You got to be able to control yourself, man. You can't be out here, you know, bonking these girls like that, man, when you got kids at home, you got a family that you got to look out for. And, you know, I'm okay with a kid if a coach would have a, you know, a little bourbon or a beer or something like that. But like you said, they peeled back some more layers and found out my man was actually doing a little bit more than just having some old fashions with his coaching staff.
Well, as you said, the big problem is that it's been tolerated for years. And at the highest level, if you're a winning coach, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But you will run into trouble when relationships end. And if it's with a subordinate on your staff, now people are more open to going to management or the administration and telling their story. So I wonder if coaches are going to change. I'm not sure they are, because they're only making more and more and more money, and oftentimes they're the most powerful person in the state, so people are afraid to go after them.
And you look at Nick Saban and all the coaches that he had to, you know, babysit while they were going through their drama, you know, Lane Kiffin, Sarkisian. You know, he was drunk at the pep rally when he was at USC. Lane Kiffin, he'd be tweeting out, you know, these little young girls and hot yoga and stuff like that. I think he needs to dial back on his social media just a little bit as well, because I guarantee you Lane has got some skeletons in those closets, man, because he's kind of like a loose cannon. Uh-huh. So I'm sure if you ask Nick Saban, man, you know, he revitalized a lot of coaches' careers that was doing some crazy stuff that shouldn't have, you know, obviously they did get fired, but man, you just can't do it. You just can't. It's tough. I know it's tough. I'm a head coach at a Power Four school, but man, you could just walk around Vegas and go through the casinos here, and you'd be like, man. But you got to think about the kids. You got to think about the kids.
Mark coming out swinging already with Kiffin and the LSU rivalry with Alabama. All right, last night.
I got to, man. Yeah, get him out of there.
Let's go. Yeah, right. Last night, Seahawks did it. Ultimately, I think a lot of people think that the Rams kind of mismanaged early parts of the game. Give me your take on that game last night, one of the wildest Thursday night football games, and one of the most important in recent memory.
Yeah, the game was pretty much sealed. Me and my son actually turned the game off. I was like, oh, my God, the Rams are scoring every time they got the ball. They got like three and outs in a row. You know, Cooper Kupp catches a pass over the middle, you know, going for a big game. Cam Curl, who we had on the show when he came out in the draft, for the Rams with a big fumble, and it was just like all downhill from there. And then all of a sudden the tide just turned on that punt return, and it just seemed like the Rams couldn't stop the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, hats off to Sam Darnold, man. The guy stuck in there. He hung in there. He had a couple interceptions, got sacked a couple of times. The Rams are legit. And for the Seahawks to stay in there and come away with that victory, it's pretty dang impressive, man. They're 11-3 with a new quarterback. Thank goodness, I'm sure they're saying that they got rid of the quarterback they had the last couple of years. And you can see the difference in quarterbacks and what they're doing with their different formations and players. We're not seeing that here in Vegas, Mr. Adam.
Well, it's a mixed bag with the Rams with their best player, Puka Nacua, because last night he went crazy at 12 catches, 225, and two touchdowns. But there was some stuff during the week where he was shacking a fool. Then he was popping up on social media last night. That set off McVay. What do you think's happening right now with Puka Nacua?
If you look at some of his tweets, he's not lying. You know, some of these referees, some of these calls, is unbelievable. And it seems like it's going through all sports. NBA, we already know soccer is just a whole different ball of wax. But the NFL, some of these referees and some of these calls, it's unreal that they're calling in the last minute. Even just throughout the game, you're kind of scratching your head, like, what are these guys looking at? And he had to take his tweet down. Obviously, McVay was pretty pissed off. He didn't even know what happened, you know, in his press conference. You could see he was visibly upset about it. And obviously, Nacua took it down after his press conference. But the guy goes for 250, two touchdowns. He's unstoppable. One of the best receivers in the league. And I don't see why he has to be reprimanded for expressing himself. If you look at his performance and look at what some of the calls going on the last couple of weeks for the Rams, it's pretty obvious that it is not being settled on the football field that we all wish we could. But, hey, we live in Vegas, man. We know the point spreads. They got shows out here for point spreads. They got apps out here for gambling. We all know something is a little fishy.
Eagles right the ship last week against the Raiders, or is it just the Raiders?
You know what? A win is a win in the NFL. You know, obviously the Raiders came out, you know, playing pretty well. We knew the offense was going to struggle. Heck, we've been watching it for, what, I think this like week 15, 16. We've been watching it for a long time, and then Kennedy Pickett goes in. He does us a little solid. You know, he gives us a couple of interceptions. He remember who got him that Super Bowl ring in Philadelphia last year. So he was just thrown into the mix, man, against a really bad offensive line. You know, you got some young receivers on the outside. You don't have any room for Genty. Bach Bowers, you know, he started off pretty good. But like we said, Max Crosby showed up once again. And I like what he said on his podcast. He liked the energy coming off the bus. He even took a couple pictures of the Eagles tailgating. So I could see Max Crosby coming off that end. I don't know. Could he go to Philly? I think we could take him over there, Howie. If you're listening back in Philly, bring Max home, baby.
Yeah, do you think Howie would make that deal? Is that something they need? Because it would come at a high cost.
Well, you know, Howie has made some deals that make you scratch your head. But, hey, we brought back Brandon Graham. You know, obviously he's going to retire again at the end of the season. We got some young guys up front, Davis, that we're going to have to pay those guys from Georgia. I think Max Crosby has enough money in the bank that he's probably going to be like, hey, you know, we can work some things out. If I could just play in Philadelphia. Could you imagine Max Crosby in a city like Philadelphia? Oh, my goodness. He'll be an instant legend soon as he step off the field, man. He'll have Max Crosby cheesesteaks, chicken cheesesteaks. He'll have pizzas. He'll be the man out there in Philly.
Last one, Mark. Do you understand why the Raiders are going to go back to Geno Smith?
Well, it's all about money, in my opinion. You know, you're not going to pay a guy millions of dollars to sit on the sideline and hold a clipboard and bring in Kennedy Pickett. You know, Aiden O'Connell, he's still just sitting there, just marinating. So I don't know what the deal is. I haven't been over to the facility to see them guys practice in a while. I know Adams got his ear to the floor with that situation. But only thing I can see is the guy is a competitor. They paid him a lot of money. He's one of their guys that they targeted in the offseason. Maybe get him some reps that he can show that he's healthy enough to be on the trade wire, you know, during the offseason. But I think if he finishes well and he finishes upright, they'll have an opportunity to possibly trade him away to try to get a different kind of quarterback, somebody younger that they can come in. But they got way more problems than Geno Smith back there.
Mark, good luck to your tie tonight. And great work with the Lyft program. That's really good stuff. You should be really proud of that.
I appreciate you guys, man. And like I said, Roll Tide, Boomer, Sooner, baby. It's going down tonight.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, appreciate it.
There he is, Chef Mark McMillan. On the way back, we're going to get into the betting side of things for the CFP as the Chicken Dinner is back. Best podcast out there for betting, and Sammy P will join us. But in the immediate, we have to get to this fight tonight, which should go down around 7:30, 7:45 our time. Fight. Real fight. Are they really going to fight? I'm looking forward to it. It is going to be on the up and up. I hope it is. A free fight. You can watch it down here with Jake Paul and Big Anthony Joshua.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we do have a fight tonight. Netflix, Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua. Jake Paul, 216 pounds, kind of a blown-up cruiserweight. How he blew up, who knows. 243.5 pound Anthony Joshua, normally around 253. Weight clause said that he had to be below 245. I mean, he looked outstanding, shredded. Jake Paul was even more abnormal than we see before fights. I don't know if he thinks that acting like a clown is going to throw Joshua off his game, maybe not take him as seriously. Listen to Andre Ward here. This fight's going down tonight. 5 o'clock, the card goes live on Netflix. 7:45, 7:30 our time is when they're expected to walk into the ring in Miami. Listen to Andre Ward, you know, all-time great champion, as he talks about the responsibility of Anthony Joshua with the boxing all watching in, basically saying, hey, you know what, enough's enough with this Jake Paul guy.
He's got the sport of boxing on his shoulders. Go get it done and make it look like he don't belong in there with you. That's what's supposed to happen. There's no way even if Anthony Joshua is not in tip-top shape, that Jake Paul is supposed to do anything with him. It's not supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is Jake Paul is going to go in there, try to move around, try to sneak shots and hold, try to get a right hand through, and he can get a hand, right hand through. Don't get it twisted. Jake Paul has been around long enough where he can sneak a shot in. Anthony Joshua better take the shot. He's not supposed to get hurt or wobble by Jake Paul. It's not supposed to happen. Anthony Joshua, he got his own reputation on the line. He's got the sport of boxing on his shoulders.
He does. I liken my experiences with the Jake Paul fights to watching the CFP release shows all season, and then they do whatever they want at the end. My trust is not there anymore. I will check in on this fight.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul can threaten everyone all he wants with lawsuits and this and that for saying, you know, fights aren't on the up and up. That is his brand. So he needs to recognize that. I guess we're going to get a good audience, and I guess he's getting a certain amount of guaranteed money. But I don't know. He's kind of in no man's land here because he's bitten off way more than he can chew. But if the fight is any bit competitive, I think a lot of people are going to be like, well, this guy looks like he's pulling his punches like Tyson did.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people said, oh, boxing's reputation on the line or whatever. I think anybody with any intelligence knows that if I'll be careful because we don't get the lawsuit threatened, too. Anthony Joshua should and will win this fight. And if he doesn't, there's shenanigans, in my opinion. So, like, it's almost a no-win. The win is that you're getting money if you're Jake Paul. But there's no way on a level playing field he can compete. It's not possible.
Unless, like Andre Ward said, and listen to him here, you know, he is big enough. He has knocked out guys before. If he does land a big punch, I guess that's the win-win situation against a guy in Joshua, who against real heavyweights at times has shown a glass jaw.
Go get it done and make it look like he don't belong in there with you. But this is boxing. Something can graze off the top of your head, and all of a sudden your body and your legs start doing some funny things. That can happen. But short of Jake Paul ducking his head and closing his eyes and landing a haymaker, which he's going to be looking for all night long, or as long as the fight lasts, this should be a fight that Anthony Joshua dominates from start to finish. This that old George Foreman where I got my hands up high and I'm walking to you. Block, 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 bing, bing, bing. Block, 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 bing, bing. Because every shot I hit you with, you're supposed to feel it.
Yeah, Roy Jones was there kind of chuckling in the background. They know what's going on. This is a one-sided fight. Hey, if it is on the up and up, and Anthony Joshua was allowed to go in there and throw with reckless abandon, then it should be a quick fight, and I think a lot of people are going to get what they want, which is a lesson towards Jake Paul that this has kind of been ridiculous. And, you know, maybe he's a professional boxer on a very low level, but, one, he's not a heavyweight at a blown-up 216, and, two, he's faced, you know, old men and internet boxers. So this whole thing, he's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I guess he is bringing eyes to boxing. I don't know if they're the right eyes, and I don't know if they're going to stay around for other fights. Coming up next, though, Sam Paniadovich will get into the CFP and also get his leans and likes for Sunday and Saturday NFL. That's right, Saturday NFL, two big games tomorrow.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
CFP game number one coming up here in about an hour and 20 minutes. We're watching at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Bar. You should as well. Free parking, happy hour, 10 to 6 every day, $5 select draft beers, and a great menu. So we're just putting in a nice salad. We're healthy here at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. Sammy P is somewhere in the Northeast. Sammy, where are you?
We're in Buffalo right now. We're on our way to get some chicken wings. I don't think I'll get the salad, Steve.
No? Okay. Do you have a spot in Buffalo that you like? I mean, there's some legendary spots that are branded as the best spot.
So, Elmo's tonight. I've been to Duff's. I've been to Gabe's Gate. I've been to Anchor. I haven't tried Wing Nuts yet. As you can just tell, I'm checking places off. But Elmo's will be tonight for the first time. I hear it's good.
All right.
Elmo's is good, for sure.
There you go. The Adam Hill stamp.
What's
of approval.
What's your favorite, Hill? Where do you go?
Usually, like, some more local spots. Like, my family's out in Hamburg and Orchard Park, and there's some spots out there by the stadium. But around the city, yeah. I mean, Anchor for history, But I think Elmo's might be the best one for you.
Wow, there you go. All right. Well, Chicken Dinner is back. I know you're making the transition from Bet Sweats to Chicken Dinner. So tell us what you got coming up on your podcast and what's in the future for 2026.
So Westwood One kind of did some merging. I'm sure you've seen some of it. So they took our network and Infinity Sports out of New York and merged everything together into Westwood and then hired a 24-year-old to do the morning show. And it's like, oh, okay, that's a move right there. Whatever. So we didn't make the cut, and they also didn't give us the podcast feed that Joe has been building up for 5 years. So we don't want to stop working together. Our numbers are good. The ratings were really high. We just didn't fit their profile. So Joe and I started Chicken Dinner August of 2016, and we've been broken up twice now, but we are going to keep it together, and now we own that content. I'm sure you're going to have this internal conversation at some point, Steve. You're going to want to do your own thing maybe one day, wink, wink, but it's definitely something to think about, you know?
Yeah, we're already doing video, so we're not going to be shocked when that day comes. Things are changing. Times are changing. Tell me about last night's game for Thursday Night Football. First of all, the two-point conversion, and then I saw you tweet something about your buddy had hit on the Rams over Ferguson anytime touchdown, but still lost money on the game.
Yeah, he's rattling off all these bets he hit, and he goes, "But I still need this to happen." And I'm like, "Dude, you hit the side and the total," which I think he did a teaser with the Rams, and then he bet the over in the game, easy bet. I mean, good grief, that was one of the easiest overs of the season. And then he hit a tight end to score a touchdown. I mean, that should be a good night if you hit the side, the total, and a prop at 4-5-1. And he's like, I got a bunch of parlays, though. And I'm like, you got a problem, man. Like, that's the problem. He's got, like, 20 bets on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I was sitting with somebody who told me that they bet all kinds of Puka and JSN props.
Okay.
And at the end of the game, I was like, hey, great job. And he goes, no, I had both to get at least 100 yards and a touchdown, and JSN had 96. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, and it was all parlayed together, obviously. Greedy. So, yeah, you were so close, but you put yourself in that position.
You know, guys, the longer in the tooth we get on this sports betting thing, the less people want to lay 110. It's just very apparent now. And with all the micro betting, these $2 and $5 bets, people want to bet $2 to win $6,000. That's what they want to do. And unfortunately, this is what is shoved down people's throats. I mean, you turn on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football on television right before the kick. Look at this parlay from this person, and it's three-leg or four-leg or five-legger, and that's what the books cram down your throats, because for every, you know, $2 parlay that wins $6,000, there's 6,000 $2 parlays that don't win. And nobody wants to talk about that because, you know, why would we talk about that? Why would we talk about responsible gaming? The parlays kill. And if you ask any gaming board, you know, the whole percentage on par, 30-40%. So, yeah, that's what they want you to do, the sports books.
If you go up to chickendinner.behop.com or just go straight to SB Shoot on Twitter, you get the weekly tip sheet from Sammy P. And let's talk about Vegas Voices first on this game, one of the big dog games tomorrow, and it's the biggest one. It is James Madison catching 21. I guess some sharps are on James Madison. Got some good numbers around town, right, in this game against Oregon.
Yeah, they hit everybody. I mean, Golden Nugget, Westgate, Circa, Wynn, South Point, like everybody said the same thing. Oh, yeah, they got us. Now, when the bracket came out a couple Sundays ago, Oregon opened 20.5 at most places. And you saw the blitz right away because people like Oregon. So, you know, there was some money that moved to 21, 21.5, and then it got to 22. And I thought, you know, and rightfully so, maybe this gets to 23. Maybe it gets even higher. But 22 was the ceiling, man. I don't know if it was a setup to bet back, but, you know, all these respected Vegas bookmakers that I talk to all the time are like, yeah, they bet 22. They bet 21.5. And when I say they, that is wise guys. That's people that bet and bet with effort, if you know what I mean. I mean, they're trying to win. They're not betting eight-leg parlays. So there seems to be an appetite, anything north of 21, to take the points with James Madison. Now, it's sort of a a contrast in styles. Oregon's got a bunch of speed and skill and NFL talent. James Madison kind of plays slow, and they try and run the ball, and they really want to, you know, walk the clock down, and you know they're going to take snaps with like 2-1 second on the play clock, and you know they want to keep Oregon on the sideline. And James Madison is a very, very dual threat quarterback. He's one of those guys that can throw and run, and you know it doesn't take much to cover 21. You know, you score like 17 points, you're going to cover for the most part. And you know, look, Oregon's got bigger fish to fry, man. They got to play Texas Tech ideally in the next game, and Oregon's also like not exactly the healthiest in the world, so I understand. But you know, there are some pros for sure that like James Madison, which you know, guys tell me like, look, they could lose 42-0. It's worth a bet though at 21. That's what they think.
Yeah, isn't the problem with that? And maybe this opens the door for in game opportunities potentially. But when you have a game that wants a team that wants to play slow and slow it down and extend the game, if you fall behind, then what? And I think that could be the concern.
100%. And I, you know, I made the bet knowing full well that this could be an absolute ass kicking. You know, like I've been doing this a long time. I've been betting games for decades, and like I've bet against Oregon. One time I took like 42 points in September one year, and Oregon won 77-0. You're just like, oh, that was not a good bet. And look, it's why we do it, right? But when you see all these guys in Vegas all tell you that, you know, some of their best players bet the same side, that's the side that I want to be on. I'll tell you that much.
And keep in mind, we talk about James Madison, if they can play pace and score, that they can stay within range. The total is only 45.5. The total for tonight's game coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes is only 42. Oklahoma money is coming in, or at least the books are shifting that way, because now the Sooners are -2 after Bama got up to, I think, as high as -1.5 on the other side. What do you want to do with
this? Yeah, I bet some Oklahoma at -1. That was a couple hours ago. But as you look at the screen, I just walked out of the hotel and I had the board up, and it was moving to 2-2.5, and that's some pretty serious money against Alabama of all teams. I mean, it's not every day you see a line move day of the game against Bama, although it's no longer Nick Saban's Alabama, of course, and now everybody's got the gun, right? I mean, we all know Saban was getting guys in there in weird ways, and now everybody can pay players. So it's just not the same Alabama team. The rumor that is kind of bouncing around Vegas is that Ty Simpson, the Alabama quarterback, is just not healthy. And if you've watched him play in the last 3-4 weeks, it's evident. Like, he's not 100%. He was the Heisman Trophy favorite in September, and now he's just not the same guy. Bama also struggles to run the ball, Steve. But I think a lot of people realize, look, these home teams last year dominated in the first round. You know, they went 4-0. Now, granted, not a big sample size, but, you know, you get a team like Oklahoma at home in a playoff game, and it's only pick -1, eventually somebody's going to smack that line, and that's what happened. I mean, this was 190 minutes ago, and now it's 2-2.5. So that's what happened recently, in the last, 2 hours or so.
Where are people putting their money with the Texas A&M Miami game?
Oh, it's been one-way Miami, man. When the bracket came out, DraftKings was first. DraftKings likes to post lines first, and then they get molded into shape, if you know what I mean. So they put a 5.5 on that game, and it lasted 2 seconds. It went right to 4.5, and then Vegas started to open 4.5. But we're 3 now, man. I mean, we're down to 3, which, you know, most odds makers would tell you that's what home field is worth. So the market is saying that A&M and Miami are basically equal on a neutral. That's what the market tells us. So, yeah, from 5.5 to 4.5, now down to 3. Go look at that Texas A&M schedule, man. In the SEC, they didn't play any of the heavy hitters. Very easy schedule. And the last time we saw A&M, they lost to Texas, a team that really struggled with a lot of teams this season. So it does make sense. But, you know, the caveat for a lot of people is, well, I don't want to bet on Mario Cristobal because he doesn't take a knee. You know, like, you're always going to hear that, unfortunately. But, you know, you're going to see some bets on A&M at 3, but the bigger bets for sure on Miami from 4.5 down to 3.
Sorry to do this to you, Sam. I'm sure you're going to hate this. But I just saw a tweet that I wanted to ask you about. At least one sports book has I saw a 9-figure. That's no way. There's no way that's true. 9-figure liability. It says if Jake Paul pulls an upset in this fight tonight, how is this much money getting bet down on something that a lot of people believe is not even on the up and up?
Is that a legal book or like an exchange like Kalshi or something?
No, it's a legal one. I won't mention who it is, but that's what it's. I don't believe nine figure. Like that's a crazy number. Seven figure.
That can't
I would believe.
Be. That yeah, that can't be right. I mean, who wants to take that risk? I mean, that's how you not only lose a job as a bookmaker, but you get like buried in a cornfield somewhere if you lose that bet. All that said, I mean, the sharpest guys I know, they laid like $5 and $6 with Joshua. So you know, the old theory. You ask any Vegas bookmaker, wise guys and pro boxing bettors, they are not afraid to lay a number, and the public. Conversely, likes to bet dogs. Like that Mayweather-McGregor fight is the perfect example. Like they just bet McGregor all the way down the rabbit hole, and they were betting McGregor at like 4-1 when he opened 9-1. And that was one of the easiest decisions ever for people to lay Mayweather at -700, -800 when the true price probably should have been -4,000.
My biggest bet ever, Sam, I got -450.
And yeah, wow. I remember you saying that was great value, and you swore by it, and it turned out to be a really easy win. I got less than a minute here, Sam. You can go to SP Shoot, find all of Sammy's stuff, including the tip sheet, his back and forth with gamblers out there, bettors out there, and, of course, Chicken Dinner. The podcast is back. Less than a minute. Are sharps, is there smart money on Tulane, or are people expecting an Ole Miss blowout?
So it's been a little two-way. I mean, some guys laid 16.5 and 17, and then other guys took 17.5 and took 17. So that's the definition of two-way action. The one move in college, it's in the FCS. It's the Montana Bowl, Montana State. They did lay Montana State 4.5 to 6. That's always a fascinating game. The tickets are like $700 to get into the stadium, too.
I got a couple seconds left. Your best bets in the NFL, are you going to go Ravens or Steelers or both?
Yeah, I like Ravens -3. I think they win by 7 or more against Patriots.
Okay. And Steelers against the Lions?
Yeah, why not? I like the Steelers. I like the Ravens more.
Sam, enjoy the wings. Enjoy Elmo's. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, boys. Merry Christmas. See you later.
Happy holidays, right? Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. All of it. Elmo's.
Happy Wednesday. Thursday, whatever it is.
I was trying to find an Elmo's menu. It feels like they don't have an internet presence. Pretty old school bar or what?
Yeah, it's up by. It's closer to campus, a little north of downtown.
All right, I'll find it eventually.
Should have also, by the way, best wing spot in Buffalo, Naked City.
Yeah, I was going to say our friends have a spot there. Great pizza as well. You want to come on down here, check out the Jake Paul Anthony Joshua fight, but more importantly, real action on the field, Oklahoma and Alabama in game number one of the CFP. It's up in about an hour or so. We'll keep you updated on the line movement. Oklahoma is now 2-2. The Sooners are favored, and the total is sitting at 42. And we'll have a lot more on the rest of the CFP games as the show moves along.